Hey, today, whether you didn't know it or not, it's Pentecost Sunday. I know. We don't know what to do with that. We really don't. But today is Pentecost Sunday. So here's the deal. As we inform you and as we talk about Pentecost Sunday, we can do one of two things, and hopefully we'll do both. We can celebrate the date, and we can also embrace the experience. Now, Pentecost Sunday is it's a calendar thing as well as what we do in Pentecostal churches. You know, it's a seven-week thing after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pentecost was something that happened 7 weeks, 50 days actually. Penta, that is a word that stands for five. Pentecost, it was 50 days after the Passover. So on the Jewish calendar, that's why we get these words. We didn't just dream that up because we're Pentecostal and going, or because we speak in tongues or anything like that. You know, it's something that's on the calendar. But on the church calendar, that's exactly what it is. And every year, you know, in Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody rallies around that, buys a lot of stuff, puts up trees. And every year, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ comes along. We call it Easter, and pretty much the whole world rallies the troops, and we have Easter, and then here comes Pentecost Sunday, and hardly anybody realizes it. And it's probably because we don't overemphasize it to the fact that where I am today, but Pentecost was the birth of the church. This is when the church started. And most of us have been in church so long that we just kind of see it through a narrow lens. This is what church is. It's an institution. It's something that happens on Sundays. This is what they do in church. This is what happens at church. And it's become a part of the fabric of the American culture. So it's not that special for a lot of different reasons, but we do have to remember it is the birthday of the church. Now, there's no way that I can get you to rally going, come on, guys, it's the birthday of the church. Yay! I mean, the church has been here so long, it's like, wow! You know, every now and then you get a $2 bill, don't you go, oh, that's wild, but it's still money. I mean, you know, it's just something that you don't throw out of throw it into the category of extraordinary, except for the fact of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, in Acts, the first chapter, Jesus said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, I want you to hang out, I want you to pray, because you're going to be endued with power, and you are going to be witnesses all over the world. And Stephen just mentioned that just a few minutes ago, and that's what happened on that day. And then in Acts, the second chapter, specifically the fourth verse, is where we understand that that's on the day of Pentecost. They were praying, the Holy Spirit fell, they had cloven tongues of fire over all of them, there was a rushing mighty wind, and they all spoke in tongues, and next thing you know, Peter busts out of the upper room, and he hits the streets, and he begins to preach. And wasn't it cool, those of you who were here with us during the Holy Spirit conference, just the wonderful blend of our speakers explaining exactly what happened on that day. And on the last one, on that Wednesday night, Tom Green was talking about the difference between who Peter was before Pentecost and who Peter was on the day of Pentecost when he began to preach. And there was something about that experience that literally changed who he was. And he runs out into the street. And the Bible says that all of the disciples, that they were just so excited and everything that they thought, well, these guys are drunk. They have just been up there. They've just been partaking a little bit too much, and they're all drunk. And, you know, when you see people a little excited, a little bit more than you are, because we live in a culture that we really don't want people to be too excited, do we? We just want you to settle down a little bit. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know how to settle down. And I try to, but I can't. I walk into a place, and if it's not exciting, I'll make it exciting. If it's boring, it's fixing to get unboring in a hurry. Now, I drive people crazy. I understand that. They don't like seeing me coming. Go, oh, great, here he goes again. I'm telling you, people used to think I was on drugs because I used to be on drugs. That was a long time ago, and that was before I met Jesus. But I had a good excuse then, you know. But then, never mind. I'm just telling you, it was pretty cool. And then Peter, he gets out there and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. Welcome to day one of the New Testament church. Now, the problem is that the church has become so organized, sophisticated. It's become so administrative that sometimes we schedule the importance of Pentecost right out of who we are as a church. And you know, the excitement sometimes isn't allowed in all of these different things. I remember when I used to go to church with my mom, you couldn't get excited. You couldn't talk. Matter of fact, I knew the minute you hit the door, you had to dip your hand in the water and make the sign of the cross, and then you had to sit down, and then God forbid you talk. Because you know what? Not only your mom would correct you, but there was other people that would correct you. And it was amazing. I thought, man, this is kind of a stiff deal. I get to talk more at school than I do at church. It was crazy how that works. I found a couple of really cool illustrations that I thought was funny. One guy was talking about, he said, you know, it reminds me of the prospectors back during the California gold rush. They hit this big vein of gold, and they said, man, we really got something pretty cool going on here. Now, the only problem we would is if we let anybody else know about it. Well, we understand what they were doing. They were concealing, you know, this riches that they had. But I think the church acts like that too. Let's not let it get out that, you know, some cool things happen in here, and that some real life happens in here, and that people really get saved in here, and people's lives really get touched in here. People really get healed in here. Sometimes it gets a little exciting in here. Matter of fact, another thing I read was, Irma Bombeck. Anybody remember Irma Bombeck? Yeah, buddy. She was a theologian back, you know, several decades ago. But Irma Bombeck tells a story about there was one little kid. He was a good kid, well-behaved, you know, good-mannered. He was in church one day, and he stood up on the pew, and he turned around, and all these people behind him, he started smiling and everything else, and everybody started smiling back. You ever been in a restaurant and a kid do that to you? Right behind here, pop up, here they go. So you start making faces at the kid. Well, that's what was happening. And his mom caught on. She grabbed him by the ear, jerked him back down in the seat. Said, don't you realize you're in church? And then he started crying and everything. She goes, there, that's better. Good grief. I mean, that's the way it is. Now, listen, I understand church needs a little order. This is a holy event, not a, you know, it's in a circus. I need to remind myself sometimes that's what this is. You have to remind myself that, you know, God is the one that we're talking about here and not you. So, you know, settle it down, bucko, you know, that kind of thing. But it's a place where we ought to get excited. But a lot of people just think the church is a bunch of doom and gloom. They don't want to go to church. Nothing good happens in there. It's nothing exciting. You know, and it's sad how that goes. And then they get exposed to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they go, man, I had no idea. That's a place I didn't think there was any joy in there. But these people are genuinely happy. They seem to really enjoy and embrace what they're saying. And it sounds like it has some credibility. At Pentecost, the early Christians found what the Bible says is a joy unspeakable. Have you ever been so happy you couldn't tell anybody about it? And it wasn't because you weren't willing to share. You just couldn't put into words. Those of you who have held your brand new baby, your firstborn, in your arms, whether you were the mom or the father, did you have words for that moment? Absolutely not. You couldn't comprehend what was happening. Probably most of the time you were just reduced to tears because of the joy unspeakable. And that's why Paul says again and again, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. These are words that we use in conjunction with church, but we really are disconnected from the meaning. Is there really the possibility that in the context of a church setting with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you could experience something so genuine that, number one, you can't describe it, but all you could do is just be happy about it? That's exactly what Paul was saying. Listen, the church was God's idea. This wasn't our idea. This was his idea and one of the best ones he had. From the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world, God had in mind to build his church. And he said this, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, that doesn't stir you, does it? It's just a scripture reference. The gates of hell, remember? The gates. Gates is a defensive. It's a defensive, you know, piece of the city. We put gates up to keep people out of us. You know, he says the gates of hell shall not prevail, meaning that the church should be the aggressor. Aggressor, we don't like the word aggressor, do we? But what we're talking about, we should be the aggressor. We should be the ones going out there sharing. We should be the ones making the difference in this world. If Stephen, you know, he could sit over here all day long and raise money and send over there and say, put a couple of bricks together. But he goes. I mean, he's there. It's actively happening. He's invading these communities where they need some well water. They need some buildings and they need some activity. Guess what? Drunks are leaving their life behind and they're getting saved. So the church comes to reality on the day of Pentecost. And most of us, we've been in church so long, you probably felt it like happened like this. Okay, Peter got up one day and decided, hey, you know what, I think we ought to form a church. He kind of throws it out to the committee, and James goes, hey, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'll make a motion that we build a church. And John says, I second the motion, and they voted, and they decided, okay, it passed, so we're going to start a church. That's what people think church is like. There's no life in there. There's no excitement in there. It's just something you're supposed to do to make you feel better on the weekend so that you can get through the week. Or it's something you do when there's a national disaster because we got to find God somewhere, and I heard he's in church. It's just that they've never seen God outside of the church. Hello? That's a little condemnation on our part, and we need to fix that. But it didn't happen that way. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from where? It came from heaven. This whole thing was God's deal. He sent it from there to here. Now listen, nobody gets moved by this comment. But at the same time, stop and think about it. What if God took a portion of heaven where there's an emotional portion, where there's a physical portion of heaven, and planted it right here on earth for you to experience? What would you do with that? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's what gets to happen every day that we embrace what Pentecost is. From heaven, God started it. Church may never be the most popular institution in the world. And I'll tell you why. Because it's counterclockwise to the culture out there. There's a lot of people that really don't want to put up with church. They are trying to get rid of church. But we'll always go counter to the popular culture out there. But it's still one of God's greatest ideas. The problem is, the people in the church and some of the institutions of church, the organizational part of church, has caused church to be irrelevant. So who really wants to be there? I mean, you know what? I've told people several times, I go, hey, Pastor, I'm sorry, you know, we're not going to be there for 3 weeks, or we've been gone, we had to go and do this, that, and the other. I said, listen, we don't take attendance around here. There's always the unofficial attendance, by the way. We kind of go, well, where are they today? You know, I see a little gap right over here. Where are those people? Somebody needs to call those people that sit right by, you know, Kathy and Jerry and say, where are you today? Put a little guilt on them. That'll be okay. I'm just kidding. We don't take attendance. You know what? We don't want to be one of those things. Take attendance at school where it really matters, okay? But here, we just want the presence of the Lord to guide us. The mission of the church was, guess what? Not to be organizational, but to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, stop and think about it. It was to share the love of Jesus. The mission of the church is to share the love of God with the lost and dying world. And that is such a Christian cliche, it doesn't move a whole lot of us. But it's so that we, who know the love of God, have experienced the love of God, been changed by the love of God, would therefore share it with a lost and dying world. And there's a million illustrations out there, but the bottom line is this. We've got what the world wants. It's just the world doesn't know that they want it. Seriously, they don't know that this is what they want. They've got their life, they've got their jobs, they've got their cars, they've got their houses, they've got things. So you know what? It's not until their world falls apart that they're looking for another world. And God forbid that the church be absent, that God forbid the church not be there when all of this happens. It's to share the love of God with everybody. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's what should happen with us. It shouldn't be something that we conceal. It should be something that's very, very evident that goes before us in many ways. That's why Jesus said, I am going to give you power. Now, I love this illustration because it just kind of puts what I think the church does a lot of times. There was these two guys that had this great business, and all they did was, you know, they chopped down trees and stuff like that, and they all did it with axes and saws. And finally, they heard about this thing called a chainsaw. So they went into town, they put their money together, and they bought two chainsaws. So then they came back in town a couple of weeks later, and the guy said, well, how's it going with that new equipment? They said, you know what? We're finding out that we really don't do as good as we did with the axes and everything. He said, why? He said, well, we're just not cutting down that many trees. He said, well, bring your chainsaws and we'll look at them. So he brought it in. Guy looked it over, pulls the cord, and it cranks up. And goes, and the guy goes, what's that noise? You know where we're going, don't you? They had these chainsaws. They were using them like axes, for crying out loud. That's what we do with the church. There's all this power. There's all this enthusiasm. There's all this joy in here. And listen, it's not all just fun and giggles. Let me tell you what, there's some brokenness that happens in the church. There are people that get sick in the church. There are people that die in the church. There are financial problems. If people lose their job who go to church and love the Lord Jesus Christ. But His healing and His provision and His power and His strength and His comfort, all of that is in the church as well. This isn't about we're only going to ride a high as long as it's here. No, this is about God taking care of every part of our lives. But here's the cool part about church as well. And this is just kind of an added benefit. The church is all about fellowship. I never used that word when I was growing up. I just want to have a little fellowship. No. I want to have some friends. I want to go places. I want to do something. You know, and the sad thing is until I met Jesus, I thought that had to have something that had to have an alcoholic expression or a drug issue with it or something like that. In football, I played football all my life. I never go, hey, let's go to fellowship today. You know, only the church uses that word. And it doesn't sound like an attractive word until you look at what it really means. Fellowship. And there's a connection here. Connection with God and a connection with other people. Can I just tell you, I love buzzing around this church because I get to just see people. I usually just bust right into their life, say something ridiculous, and keep going. I just walk right into their room and right out of their room. I don't know if I disturb anything or not. If you're praying, I try not to do that. But I just this is what the hell I am. I don't know if I've ever met a stranger. If I have, they're not going to be strangers long. Not everybody's built like that. I know I'm weird. I don't care. But there's a little bit of a God component in that. But the church is about fellowship, and it's a unique fellowship. Can I just tell you something you need to know? We are all sinners. There's not a single person in this room that is perfect. There's some people that think they're perfect, but there's a whole lot of them need to realize we're not perfect, gang. We don't have it all together. We're all busted and broken. I was busted and broken. So were you until one day when you met Jesus and you gave your heart to Him and you repented of your sins. We come out of a world of slavery and bondage. And there's all kinds of things going on. We're selfish and we're greedy and we're dishonest. And we're full of a whole bunch of poor decisions. But then we got born again. God gave us a second chance through the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. And because of the events of Pentecost, one day, 3,000 got saved. Quickly, it changed into 5,000 that were saved. And then all Jerusalem was abuzz. And people started joining the church because there was something genuine that was happening there. And more people were attracted to the church. And listen, it was different than anything else that they had experienced in their life. And the church today needs to be exactly the same thing. You know what? We can go to Africa and build a church. And I'm going to tell you what, I promise you, and I don't know, but I guarantee you, anybody can put up a building, but if that building doesn't have something associated with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and what happens in that life, anybody can put up a building. But it's the Spirit of God that makes it a church and it can impact the community. And the same thing is true today. Have we forgotten that the Bible says that we're supposed to be light and salt? Light and salt. Light into a dark place. Salt. We're supposed to add a little flavor to this thing. And I'm not talking about by your personality. I'm talking about that you really give them something to live for. Listen, there's a lot of things you can be a part of. There are institutions, there's clubs, there's groups. But you know what? Every one of those are designed because there's something they want out of you. Only the church is designed because it wants to give something to you. And you know why that's true? It's not because of our ideas. It's because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And He's always been a giver. Gave with His own life. Listen, the world may take advantage of you, but the church is where you can come to find the truth. The church is a place you can come and have your needs met. The church is a place where you can come and be ministered to. Listen, I know that you can be hurt in church. I understand that. Not everybody's perfect, remember? Sometimes the people, you know, maybe they aren't having their best day, whatever. So like I said, we're not perfect. We just serve the one who is. But church is a great place for your life to be enhanced, for your life to do some great things. And with God's help, the church will always be an oasis in the desert. And the church will always be a cup of cool water to someone who is extremely thirsty. And the church will be a place where you will not be rejected, but you will be accepted and loved. Now, there's a lot of places you can do that, but you know what? You're going to have to give up something to be accepted and loved. And as long as you can't continue to give a contribution, they're going to drop you like crazy. But the church isn't supposed to be that way. But that's what we try to do. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. And the world changed because of the church's influence. Now, I can't do anything with that comment other than just throw it out there. I can't make the emphasis of the world history and all the people's lives and all the things that happened, but we have the record right here. And you have the same record. You know, regardless of whether you were there on the day of Pentecost when it first happened, or whether your story was just a couple of years ago when you got saved, or when you were at youth camp, or you were at VBS, or you grew up in church, the same thing was true for you. The church, because of the presence of God and the Spirit of God, you were changed. And next thing you know, your life was turned upside down for all the right reasons, and that's exactly the way it ought to be. So this morning, if you're tired, and if you're lonely, and if you're hurt, and you don't know what else to do with your life, you've been taken advantage of, I want you to know, within these walls, there's a lot of people that are just like you. I realize that when you go to church sometimes, you just feel like everybody's got it together but you, but that's not true. The truth of the matter is, the only thing we've got right is that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And if we would just keep following Him, He will keep taking us to the right places. And you'll be able to just be honest with Him and honest with other people. So the truth of the matter is that some of us, we're just tired of pretending. We're tired of having to go to church. We can't just be ourselves. We have to be something else. Why is it that we're supposed to be something different at church than we are somewhere else? That's not a standard that God put on us. It's an expectation we created into ourselves. And God forbid that it be the way it continues. Listen, with all of our bumps and bruises and all of our dents and dings and all of those other things in our life, we can find joy and acceptance right here in church, because that's what church is supposed to be. You know what the Bible calls it? It calls it the family of God. I don't know if you saw your bulletin earlier, but if you'll look on the front of your bulletin, guess what it says? Welcome home. Welcome home. That's the way it should be in the church. Now listen, I've kind of put a heavy on this place. I didn't mean to. You know why there's a sense of heaviness here? And it's not, I'm not trying to create that, but the reason why it is because we want so desperately to be accepted, but we find so little places in our life that we're accepted. We want desperately to have our act together, and we keep finding ourselves being reminded that we're anything but perfect. But yet in the church, God keeps reminding us that it's not your perfection, it's mine that's going to matter. It's my love for you that's going to make the difference. And the day of Pentecost, all that was introduced, and I'm so thrilled that we get to be a part of that. Well, Pastor, if you're going to talk about Pentecost, you know, I mean, what about the emphasis on the Holy Spirit and everything else? You know what? We just did a Holy Spirit conference. I think the emphasis that we want today is for us to understand, because of the birth of the church, we get to be a part of the church and everything it stands for. I'm going to ask you, we're going to be dismissed in just a second. We're not going to have any music played. We're going to dismiss, but I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads with me just for a second. We often end a service like this for a specific reason, is that it's not about agreeing with the pastor. It's about listening to our hearts and what God is saying to our hearts. You know, the cry of my heart, if I can put it that way, is that I wonder how many people out there would just love to know that they can be loved and accepted, they can be forgiven, and they can be absolutely just received by God. Because so often they're not received or forgiven by people. And even though the church is made up of people, hopefully the church is made up of people who love God and are also forgiving. You see, that's the difference that we talk about in the church. Before Pentecost, there was all kinds of judgment. There was all these rules. You had to jump through all these loops and these hoops just to be approved of. And today God is saying, you know what? I've already approved of you. I already went to the cross and I already died for you. So today is about you accepting me. And if you would really like to be a part of a church like this, and this isn't a membership drive, so don't worry about the word. But if you'd really like to be a part of a church like this, God's church, not Claremore Assembly of God, I'm not asking anybody to join the church today, but you would really like to be a part of a church like that, would you do me a favor? Would you just put your hand straight up and then right back down? Just right up real quick, right back down. I would love to be a part of a church like that. I would be encouraged to be a part of there. Anybody else? Just real quick. You've been looking for a church like that. You want this church to be that church. Then we're going to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the idea of the church. I love that you're the head of the church. I feel safe with you. I feel your love, and I hope you feel mine. I'm glad that you forgave me. And today, once again, I ask you to reconfirm in my own heart that I have been forgiven. If I have confessed my sins and named you as Lord, you said you would come into me and you would make me a new creation. I want to be a part of a church like that. I want to be in a place where I feel the love of a God like that. So I'm asking you today, help me once again to fall in love with the church. Not at the expense of falling in love with you, but because of my love for you and your love for me, I love the church. And I ask you to bless the church. And I ask you to bless me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I want to just take you back over real quick what's happened today. We walked in here. We've honored people that are going to be graduating. Wasn't that fun? I mean, in just a few seconds, you heard their story. I mean, we wrapped up 12 years and went, yeah, here you go. I mean, man, that was over with in a hurry time. Gave them a little gift. They don't even know what it is unless they've already opened it. And if you did, that was because you weren't listening to my sermon. You know, they got all this cool stuff. We mentioned all these things. And then we had Stephen and Bailey. Were you not engaged when you are listening to that? And somebody give him a hot dog. This guy is too skinny. This is horrible. Or, I don't know, first wife or not, you need to learn to cook, sister. You know, so we got that going on. And then guess what? We're celebrating the day of Pentecost. There's not going to be any banners out there. Nobody's going to throw up anything. We're not going to light a cake and blow the candles. But you know what? Today is the birthday of the church. Can it also be the birthday, once again, or a new day that we celebrate what God did in you? Could you give yourself a round of applause for what Jesus did in your own life? Amen. Amen. And do me one more favor. Grab your Bible, stand to your feet, go buy something, and leave.